Session number 12710, Mr. John Avery, Reel 5.
Mr. J. Avery, Reel 5. You were marching, retreating through Belgium, Mr. Avery, and you said you came to a brewery. What happened then?
Well, some of the lads, myself, like Jim Duffin, went into the in the brewery, in the Belgium workman, gave bottles of beer, like, you know, which was a very refreshing drink, like, after being on the road with the warm weather coming down the thing. And as for the refugees, you felt really sorry for them. Some were pushed in the belongings in the barrack pram. Some had horse-driven things. Some had cars, like, you know, what type of cars they were then, like, you know. And the road was just one chopping block. You come down the road, and you run into a load of refugees, and the road was practically blocked. And with the troops marching, they made their way through. Like, you know, we just followed through after the line troops. Like, you know, follow them down behind them. He's saying they made their way through the thing. I can imagine the officer and the sign shouting to the refugees to pull aside, like, you know, and you just walked right down. But it was hard going, like, you know.
What was the attitude of the refugees towards you? I mean, they were running away, you were running away.
Well, as I say, you did get that sorrowful look, like, you know, and you and yourself, you were, you'd been, like, you'd let some people do, you hadn't done the job you were supposed to do, like, no stopping. But as the old we used to say, if you live to fight another day, for another day, like, you know. But as I say, you could see the expression on the people's faces, and even the older people, like, you know, that was walking and trudging along, you could see the expression on their faces was, you know, would tell the story of what they was going through. They were maybe saying, what's going to happen to me? Like, you know, as you say yourself, what was going to happen?
How did you feel that you were retreating and you literally fired a shot?
Well, this is what I'm saying. We thought we'd let people down, like, we'd, because, as I say, we were just the troops. We didn't get the grip like the colonels and the brigadiers and such of them. They got all the grip. They never come round to tell you exactly where you're going. This, you're going there, and you're going here, you're going there. That's as much as you got to know.
So didn't really know what was happening,
really,
except that you were being pulled out.
You were pulled out further down, further down to Harris.
Did that cause resentment and grumbling amongst the men that you were retreating and you hadn't had a chance to prove yourselves?
Well, listen, the lads I was with, like, you know, we were wondering why we were going back and we hadn't really done a great deal of anything, sort of style. But as I say, it wasn't us the reason why, sort of style.
But were the any indications in your retreat, did you recall, there where the Germans had machine gunned the refugees or anything of that nature? Or yourselves?
No, not while not in my thing. I think we were rather lucky in that sense of the word, that we were never attacked by air. Well, as I say, not really attacked by air. The planes that maybe flown somewhere and were going back, sort of style. But as I say, never actually, like you've seen them shown on the on these films and the things where they're diving and the refugees was diving all over. No, not in the sense of the word that we were doing that. And when we got back down to where we had to go, this place we went to was Arras area, and we were a little village called Petit Vimy.
What state you were in by the time you got there? Because that took several days.
Oh, well, as I say, you weren't in a great jubilant fit health self. You just chugged along.
I should have basically ridden, but most of the men had walked.
Walked, yes. Went in this farm, in this Petit Vimy. I can always remember one lad from Spennymoor called, what's he was called? Now he's a nickname. He was a sanitary, one of the sanitary lads. You know, his feet, he was walking in a pair of slippers where he picked up. His face was that bad, swelled in his farm yard over here. In Petit Vimy.
And what are your memories of Petit Vimy and the action that took
part? Oh, well, that's where a lot of the action did start, in Petit Vimy, around Arras. There was a lot of thing.
Were you involved in the march and into the attack itself?
No, we were. We had the thing to guard the HQ, like, you know, Akak, Brengun, in this village, and we were stationed in this farmyard, and another gun was stationed further on, another one stationed distance away from them, like, circled around. And we were there when it did happen, then it come with the bombs, or did he not? Ooh. Stream bombs down at us just like confetti.
Do you recall when you first got there and the rest of the men marched off into their action?
Mm.
Do you recall them coming back and what state they were in?
No, be honest and truthful, no. When we went in that village, we went in this farmyard over there because the village was deserted, almost deserted. All but one woman, me and a lad, my mate, Bobby Vandenberg. We had a look round the village, not all around the village, the part near where we were, the farmyard was. And it seemed all deserted, but one house. And there was this old lady just sitting, very old lady. Sitting and just saying, she just looked like him. I said, didn't care anything. Well, she must have been that. She'd been old. She didn't care what really happened. He just sat there and never said anything. As soon as we saw, we just walked out and come down the street. Walking down the street, it was pretty getting on dark. A shade dark, and it is now, like, you know, we've been around the thing, and it was coming, it was getting a bit darker, and we're coming down to this corner of where the, it must have been a stanima, a cafe, like, you know, and went in, nobody around, like, you know, the big French flag, like, and just pick it up. I heard this rumbling going on. And we just stood back in this, in the doorway, and just held the flag up, like, you know, so we just say over the top of it. Here was a column of jury tanks. Oh, dang. I said, don't breathe, Bob. We just stood there till it rumbled past. And just as we got a good part, we moved out. And lucky, there's a car stood right on the crossroads, lights on. So we're in, quick thinking, gets a brick, puts them out, because it was a good guided for the aircraft, right in the centre of the village sort of style, right in the crossroad. So Bob knocked them out, knocked the lights out.
Was there any occupants in the car?
No, because it just took them left, lights blazing. And the planes would pick it up straight away. They would know that was the centre of the crossroad of the village, you know. Come in, but...
At this point, had the battalion gone into its action, or had it yes, come out?
They'd gone in. Well, I couldn't tell you if it had gone in, but I couldn't tell you where it come out. Because before that, the action, we got back the thing, there was this awful shouting, like, and we got back to our gun, to relieve the other lads. We heard this awful shouting just along the wood, and we didn't know what it was at first. Then we found out it was the Paddy. He went off his ding-dong, and then he stopped shouting, like.
What was his name?
I can't think of his name now.
Do you know how they stopped him from shouting?
Yes, what we were told, I don't know exactly myself, but what we were told that Mickey Ferrans hit him, put him out, which was the right and proper thing to do, because he'd give you a position away.
So he'd gone off, panicked.
Why? You were saying you're sending the lads to the death, which he said he's sending the lads to you to the death. And that was it. There was a noise, and it was Mickey Ferrans that hit him. Yes, I think they called it Wild, the Reverend Wild. I think that was his name, Wild.
So those German tanks were behind you with the
yes,
battalion attacking in the opposite direction?
Yes. That's what the thing had come. Got way through, like, in a way, surmised, G tanks was going around the backside, like, you know, encircling us, you know. Well, anyway, we were there a while, like, and these things. And later on in the night, we get the order to move, like, you know, back up, you know. So we get the wagon, like, and all the guns stripped down and think. Oh, but as I said before, that when we got dive bombed, she was raining leaves were. Well, with that hot, firing the gun, the barrels of that red hot, we had to bury them, like, you know, under this, like, a chicken coop thing they were laid there, to cool them down, like, you know, they were red hot. And the gases, you know, that thing got to ease off a while, and Conjury was keep pinking us.
Aye. What were your feelings like being... Were the dive bombers, were they?
Yeah. Oh, they were coming for you.
What was the feeling? Because this is the first time you'd ever met like anything like this.
Well, this is what I'm saying. We were there and we just had to do the best we could. It's, you know, never entered your mind being what it was like, what was going to happen. You were busy doing something. You were busy doing it. You had a thing, you see. And one of the lads, like, you know, they were all busy filling the magazines, cleaning the barrels, like, you know, trying to keep them going, like, you know, they can get out, you know, find massive amounts of ammunition and refill in the magazines.
Did you have any experience of obviously the foot soldier who couldn't fire back? And you were occupied, as you say, doing something.
Yeah.
But those who couldn't do anything and were just lying, taking it, did you have any experience of men cracking under
that kind of thing? I wouldn't. Not at that particular place, but through the war. I can remember myself, like, when we was going into Matlab, when we were in the desert, like, you know, and we couldn't fire. We weren't fine there, we were just fine back, like, you know.
What?
That was the worst thing in the world. You were doing nothing. But once you got into the thing, you were away.
Hearing Stukas for the first time, what were they like?
Oh, they were frightening. You know, they were very frightening. You could hear them screaming down at you. But, yeah. As I say, you were that concentrated on what you had to do. It was this, the old saying, it's him or you, sort of style. Man, he did come near, right? But he, as I say, we just kept flying away and none of us never got touched. We never got touched, but we were near. It's like, you know, the walls flow near, but they didn't catch us. But as you say, your thoughts never entered about anything. Like, you know, you were there. You had a job to do, and you had to do it, and you were doing it. Like, you know, and you were all concentrating on the pieces of work you had to do. And one of the lads got tired of firing the gun, he'd come off and refill the magazine, and you could go on and carry on firing.
Do you recall hitting anything?
Well, I don't think so. You used to see how near you, you know, you think you were hitting them, but whether you did or you didn't, you couldn't tell with that. They were there and gone, so and left you. But as I say, there you are, you didn't know. You might have hit them and come down somewhere you never know it's been hit. You hit them.
What happened next?
As I say, we got the order to pack up and go away, to pull out. Well, we didn't get the order till later on. Like, you know, everybody was, to the lads with the Akak, got their weapons, they were all packed up before we got them. And, we had this little sergeant. Never get him. Ain't another lad from. He was from Dalton. Sergeant Ridley, we call him. He's on the motorbike. Come round and tell us. And we packed the wagon up, like, you know. And the bike had died on him, like, you know. And he started kicking it. And we were pulling away. Don't leave your sergeant. I said, get at the bike, girl. He just took the bike and he left the bike. We left the bike, really? No, he left the bike. And he ran after us and jumped on the wagon. I said to him, I said, oh, get on with the last answer with that bike. Like, you know, a kid of mine, really. No, he was a kid of mine, really.
And where was your next move? What happened to you next?
As I say, we moved down to Belong, you know. That's where we landed up, down in Belong.
So in the retreat, this is where the battalion split.
Mm.
That's in by some way or error. Did you ever find out what had happened?
No, I never did. Well, because we were down on the docks. We were there. Thing was there, Mickey Ferns. We were the guns, like, mounted again, like, for aircraft. And we, for hours, we wondered what was happening. Anybody come and say where anything contained, and now, like, you know, find out where we're at. Well, one of the lads, I just forget, went out the front. He says, "There's nobody around." But what had happened, further along the docks, they're getting on the boat there, some of them, and this Charlie Thompson, the water man, he had the water tanker filled with wines and that. And he filled with wine, drunk as a nut. And the little lad of some Joey Davison, we were going to put him on the charge. We had to know, we don't go in there to say it like this, what we're told after the thing. And they go out and they left the water wagon. And we didn't find it. Nowhere, nobody. So come back, the lad come back and says, "Nobody around." So we stood there and said, "Well, we'll let it go somewhere. Nobody come with any grub and out, when they chow, not a bite." So Lord took the gun, put it out, it was getting dark, like, you know, putting it dark. Something like this. So we just pulled the thing, the timer, gets the thing all loaded on, it's getting a little bit darker, pulls out to work the way we follow the road into the village, into Boulogne. We get into Boulogne, and all the roads is blocked off. Well, what are we, wagons and carts, like, you know, farm stuff. Full of one straight, went up another, so they all blocked off. Whoa, I said, we wonder what was really happening, eh? And I said, we really left on our own, eh? Nobody didn't tell us anything. So there was Jimmy Singlewood, and I say, we got called Abby Davis, Bobby, and where was it? Jackie German, I think it was with us. Pulls up in the road, gets the wagon and pulls it around this one of these old carts, you know, pull it out the road, like, you know, and we got past, and we got out onto the cliff top road. And we're going along there. And left loads again. Shelling us. Because Mr. Silhouette had done the top. They wouldn't have let go of us. Anyway, we kept playing along that road and got away.
How many vehicles were involved with?
It was only ours.
Just the one?
Yeah. Because, as I say, we were left there. Like, you know, we were in this thing. So coming along the road, and we stopped in this little village. Knocked this on, this Frenchman come out, and he just when somebody said us, he shut the door and bolted. What's the bolt? And so we just it was getting really dark, so we just pulled in this barn, and. No, Jimmy Singlewood was that there, but we picked him up along the road. He must have been left the same as us, when I come to think. No. And he'd got out in this barn and he was riding his horse, his old nag. And when we pulled up and picked him up into Cali, when he gets into Cali, it was in the morning, it reports to this like a depot, or must have been a transit camp, like, you know, at Cali, like, you know, for the, when the people of Houston go and leave lately. We reported there, and that says, Durham's late, direct in front of you. I said, "What about 28? I said, "We never had nothing to eat since yesterday morning. Oh, he says, I'll get you something to eat. So I've got some bread. I've got some bread. He says, fall in here. Fall in, I think I fell in. He says, where's your rifle? I said, mine's on the truck, like, you know. Oh, he says, we've come a day, that's, and your life will be on there. So he gives another one, 50 rounds of ammunition. And we're all lined up, and he marches up the street. The street, and we were there, defending. And somebody else came, he said, you have to go down to the docks. So we go down to the docks, and we were there, and there was a sergeant, a C company from Spennymoor. Hirsty, Colour Sergeant Hirst. He come and give us something to eat, tin of woolly, like, you know.
Where'd he come from?
I don't know. We never got, you know, never asked. We just saw him there. We thought, like, oh, the most, all the battalion, some of the lads had come here, the same as us. And this officer, general, which was a brigadier, stood up and gives a lecture, like, about fighting on. So, like, you know, so we think next time we see him, he was getting on a boat and away. I don't know who he was, like, you know, getting on a boat and off. But I thought we were there the full day.
Was this on the docks still?
Yes, and there was refugees there and all, like, you know, all sorts. Oh, and I met a few more. I said, Jimmy Singh, I met Jimmy Singh on the road, and Dick, a lad called Dick Robinson, and one or two more, like, the lads. And just then, the Rafa was coming back, like, you know, and they were putting on the boats and taking them away, and leaving their guns, left those guns. And they're running to get the Rafa on, they're running these brand new trucks, fetched out, straight into the docks. And they're putting the Rafa on their ships and taking them back.
This is the RAF?
Yeah, and it was a medical ship in there and all. Because as I say, this shot really is with us, like, you know. We missed him we missed him two or three times. I found out he'd been trying to get on the medical boat to get back. It cut him twice and chucked him off. Aye, he couldn't. Sorry, really. Yeah. I don't know, we were there, like, and chucked them, and they got all these rougher men away. They left the lowest guns. And this officer came around, he said, oh, fire a lowest gun. Somebody bumped it onto us, because we had one of the lowest guns, like, before the Bren. We got these guns out and we put them together and got them working. And marches away again, up the street. I said, I'm getting sick of this, to Jimmy and the lads. I said, I'm getting sick of this job. Marching up the street, and I took us up this street again, put us in points with a lowest gun. not, say it again, left. You stuck there, and nobody to tell you what to do. Well, they said the Germans were coming, like, you know, coming down that way, like, you know. Nobody come to see if you're all right or wrong or anything. On any road, we're sitting there, and then somebody come up. Just to pull back. So pulled back.
Was there any sounds or sights of firing that was going on?
Oh, yeah, yes. There was just shots going on. Traces for these red traces going up in the air, like different things. There were, what do you call them, duty infiltrators, like, you know, they were, what do you call them?
Flares.
No, they were, not collaborators, they were, you know, they got themselves in and start firing things, pointing where you're giving the artillery where to fire at. Because you were sending airbursts over.
Like a
fifth column there. A fifth column, aye. And they were just firing these things up, and shells just come out, airbursts, like, you know. Everyone would get back.
It was quiet where you were, though.
Well, you got a shell still flying about, but not bad. But the main shells was going to the docks, airbursts. And we got pulled back to the thing. And carrying the guns back, got back to the office, he said, get on the thing there.